We're returning stateside now to talk about the future of health care in the United States. Weeks after failing to muster enough GOP support in the U.S. House, the American Health Care Act has narrowly passed in that chamber on a vote of 217 to 213. Now it heads to the Senate. But this time, Republicans passed the bill without knowing what it would cost. It's a special analysis that gets done on every piece of legislation by the nonpartisan watchdog arm of Congress called the Congressional Budget Office. And when it comes to passing major changes to health care, the price tag matters a lot to some lawmakers. So this week, our words you'll hear are CBO score, which we expect will be in the news in the coming weeks as the Senate prepares to take up the House bill. With me is Julie Rovner. She is the chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News. Julie Rovner, thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure.
Before we get into what the Senate could do, help us understand the initial estimates said the bill could lead to 24 million Americans losing health insurance. What are you looking to learn with this score, and why is it such a big deal?
Well, there's two very important things when the Congressional Budget Office scores a bill like this that changes people's health insurance coverage. You want to know, obviously, how much it's going to cost or how much it's going to save, but you also want to know what it's going to do to people's coverage. And in this case, the first version of the bill, which was not the version that passed, the Congressional Budget Office estimated that up to 24 million people could be without coverage after 10 years. That's a combination of people who would lose their coverage through Medicaid, people who would lose their coverage because they'd no longer be able to afford it in the individual market, and some people, as Republicans point out, who would not have coverage because they're now being required to buy it and they would no longer be required to buy it.
Julie, walk us through the key policies in the current legislation that you think will encounter problems in the Senate.
There are a lot of them. I think the first one is the Medicaid program. That's the program for people with low incomes. The House bill, as has been widely reported, would phase out the expansion of Medicaid that was in the Affordable Care Act. But what has been less widely reported is that it would also put a cap on the overall program, not just the expansion, but all of Medicaid. This is something that Republicans have been agitating for some decades now. It has never passed because governors, including Republican governors, tend not to want less money from the federal government. But that's one of the main things that the CBO said could lead to people losing their coverage. And that's not just people who got it in the expansion, but that's low-income women and children and elderly and disabled people, because states would not be able to keep up with the amount of inflation in the Medicaid program.
Do you recall generally just how many people would be affected by that particular problem?
Well, the Congressional Budget Office says that about 14 million of the 24 million people who could lose coverage would lose it through the Medicaid program.
Julie, are there any other policies that we could see running into problems as a result of this legislation?
Yes, I think the way the House changes the tax credits to help people get to pay their premiums, there are senators from states where health insurance costs a lot more who are very concerned that the new subsidies, the tax credits, wouldn't go far enough to help people in their states. And that's going to divide more geographically than it is going to really divide by party.
What are the different political factions in the Senate that could prove especially tricky for Republicans in the Trump administration?
Well, the Senate has only 52 Republican votes. It's a very narrow majority. So they're going to have to sort of walk this tightrope. There's four or five moderates and four or five conservatives who could peel off depending on what they do with the bill. As I mentioned, with Medicaid, you've already got four or five members from states whose states did expand the Medicaid program who are very uncomfortable with the Medicaid cut. You've got some conservatives who would be very uncomfortable if it didn't have the Medicaid cut. You've got a one-year defunding of Planned Parenthood, again, very important to some of the conservatives, very important not to have in it from some of the moderates. So it's going to be extremely difficult to get a bill through the Senate that's going to get the 50 votes they need. Vice President Mike Pence could break a tie, so they would need at least 50.
We expect that the Senate will probably be working on this bill for a long time. So what are the next steps that we can expect to see?
Well, the next thing we could see, as we started with at the top, is a full Congressional Budget Office score of the bill as it passed the House, which didn't happen before the House passed it. The Senate has a 13-member working group that's trying to work something out. One of the important things to remember is that because of the budget process that they're using to do this bill, where they only need a simple majority in the Senate rather than 60 votes, they can't start tax reform until they finish health care, because they would need to do another budget resolution. And as soon as they did the next budget resolution, the health care protections would go away. So the longer they take on health care, the longer it is before they can even start on taxes.
That's Julie Rovner. She's the chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News. Julie, thank you for your time.
Always.
Coming up, Tommy Caldwell built his rock climbing career scaling the most difficult routes in the world. His only equipment, his hands and his feet.
As climbers, we sort of have this idea that if we pay attention to all the potential dangers, we'd never go climbing in the first place.
But falling isn't the only risk. 17 years ago, Caldwell traveled with three other climbers to the remote mountains of Kyrgyzstan. There, they were captured by militants.
The way that we escaped is that I actually ended up pushing one of our captors off a cliff and we ran for it.
Tommy Caldwell later on All Things Considered from NPR News.